Welcome to another audio sermon from Brighton Community Church. I hope that God speaks through the sermon to encourage you, renew your mind, and transform your life. Let's dive in.
Thank you, Rachel. Good afternoon, church. Okay, today before I begin, I just want to add one more thing to our Christmas announcement. We are in the month of November. We are just 1 month away from from Christmas service. And I just want to encourage all Brightonites to just take the next 1 month to think about the friends and family members whom you want to invite for our Christmas service. Okay, and I think for the next 1 month, let's take time to pray. Let's take time to connect with them relationally. Let's take some time to do nice things for them. And really, right, to really just sow the ground, invest into the people around us, so that eventually when we pop the question to ask to invite them for Christmas service, you know, their hearts will be softened and they will agree to come for our service. Okay, just to give you a teaser, okay, yours humbly, okay, we'll be speaking at the Christmas service. Okay, some background. A youth pastor from another church invited me to speak at their December youth camp. Okay, it's 43 night. They invited me to speak of 4 sessions at a camp. And actually, they originally wanted me to speak for 2 sessions on that Sunday, 21st of December. Okay, one in the morning and one in the evening. And I told them, I'm so sorry, I have to be here, so I can't do Sunday morning. And the youth pastor, you know, jokingly, tongue-in-cheek, just said that, you know, yeah, I'm sure your church can find some other pastors to preach the Christmas service. You know, we really want you to be here. No, but I told him that, no, I really want to be here, together with my church. And I think what a privilege it is to be able to speak at such an important event where many of my church members will be inviting their family and friends to be here. Right, so of course, this is not about me, but really, right, this is about Holy Spirit working through all of us. So really, just want to encourage all of us to just take the next 1 month, right, invest in the people around us, and ask God to come and help us, to give us success, even as we invite them for Christmas service. Amen? Okay, so that, you know, we will be able to witness a great harvest of salvation this Christmas season. Come, let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us today. Father, we thank you for bringing each and every one of us here, even despite the heavy rain. We are grateful that through Christ that you have given us great and precious promises. As we come into your word, help us to listen, not just with our ears and minds, but with our hearts. Clear away our worries and distractions, and so that your voice may be the loudest one we hear today. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and speak to us personally and powerfully. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Everybody say, amen. What was your earliest memory of feeling terribly disappointed after someone lied to you? Can you remember? What was the earliest memory of being lied to? Mine happened when I was in primary 4. We had just entered the upper primary level, and my form teacher had to nominate new students from our class to form the next batch of prefects, school prefects. So on the day of nomination, I sat at my table with great anticipation. One by one, my teacher called out the names of the students she had chosen. And right at the end of the list, she called my name in front of the whole class. Oh, I couldn't believe what I had heard. It felt like the greatest day of my life. Or so I thought. My teacher told all the nominees to meet her outside the staff room after school. So when the last period ended, I headed straight there. To my surprise, none of my classmates was there. I knocked on the office door, and my teacher walked out with a puzzled expression on her face that seemed to say, "Hey, why are you here?" When I told her that I was there for the prefect briefing, she replied, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I made a mistake. You are not actually nominated to be a prefect." Wow, her words crushed me. It was far too much for the heart of a 10-year-old. And this is the beginning of my villain origin story. From that day on, I made a pact to myself. If my teachers would not choose me for special positions, then I will prove them wrong by becoming the best student in my studies. And over the next 3 years, from primary 4 to primary 6, I poured myself into my studies. My Chinese language grades were were the best in the entire level. And I was even selected to represent the school in essay writing competitions on several occasions. And not just that, my overall academic ranking for those 3 years was consistently either second or third in the whole level. And yet, even with all that, I was still not happy when I completed my primary school education. You know why? It was not just because I never reached number one, but because the two girls who were neck to neck with me were prefects. So I never got to prove myself convincingly. And of course, when I look back now, the whole situation feels silly, but I am sure you can understand that feeling of being lied to and having your hopes dashed. It is one thing to get into an accident, fall sick, or fail a test, but it is something else altogether to be lied to. That sense of betrayal and disappointment can feel even more painful than many other difficult situations in life. Okay, all of us know someone who has gone back on his word to us so many times that we eventually tell ourselves we can no longer trust him. And the question for all of us this afternoon is, can we trust God? Okay, last week in part one of this series, we explored the immortality of God. Okay, we look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 that says that God is the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal. However, his divinity does not automatically imply his integrity. Okay, many mythological gods are immortal, but immoral. How can we be sure that a Christian God is not like one of them? And the question is relevant for both Christians and non-Christians. Okay, many Christians, including myself, we know the right things about God in our minds, yet in our hearts often struggle to believe that he will truly come true for us. Okay, we would never call God a liar, but in practice, we often end up living as if he cannot be trusted. Can we really take his word for it? And to our non-Christian friends, perhaps you are exploring Christianity. Okay, you have no intellectual barrier or nor family objection. What is holding you back is the thought of that becoming a Christian means giving up control of your life and allowing this God to direct it. Can you really trust this God with your life? And to answer this question, okay, let's take a look at a passage in the Bible that highlights the unchanging nature of God. It's a bit long, but let's read it together. From Hebrews chapter 6, starting from verse 10, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his promise, of his purpose, very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. God did it so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. Okay, some context to this passage. It is most likely that this letter was written to Jewish Christians, okay, which will explain the title, Hebrews. Okay, we have clue that this Christian community was facing persecution and imprisonment because of their association with Jesus. Okay, not just that, some Christians in this community were abandoning their faith. And the author wants to encourage his listeners to see that God is worthy of total trust and devotion. Following him means remaining faithful to him despite persecutions, because God will never abandon his people. Today, from this passage, I want to share with you 3 reasons why you can trust God even with your life. Okay, the first reason is this: God's character is constant. what was some half-truth or even lies that your parents told you to get you to do what they wanted? Can you remember? What were some half-truths or even lies that your parents told you to get you to do what they wanted? My wife shared with me that when she was much younger, her father pointed to their neighbor next door and said, "Look at all the pimples on his face. If you don't wash your face will end up like his." From that day on, my wife washes her face diligently. After I got married, I finally found out why I had acne problems for so many years. You know why? My wife told me that when she was much younger, her mother used to tell her, "If you do not finish your rice, your future husband will have many pimples." So mystery solved. Clearly, my wife did not finish every grain of rice at mealtime. And obviously, she cared a lot more. She cared a lot more about her own complexion than her future husband's. Why do people lie? Why do you resort to half-truth instead of being completely honest? Okay, we lie for several reasons. Okay, but I believe they all come down to this. Okay, we lie to gain benefits or avoid consequences that honesty cannot give us. Okay, sometimes we lie to manipulate, okay, to get something we could never get by telling the truth. Okay, like convincing your children to wash their face or finish their rice. Okay, we lie to make ourselves look better than we really are. Okay, and other times we lie because we're afraid of what might happen if the truth comes out. So we try to cover it up. If you think about it, many of our reasons for lying are rooted in our limitations. Okay, and that's why we resort to deceptions to obtain what we cannot get. Okay, we lie because we cannot control outcomes. We lie because we cannot change people's mind. We lie because we feel powerless to turn the situations around. But is God like us? Is He limited like us? Okay, this is how our main passage today describes God. Verse 18, God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. Okay, help me tell the person beside you, God cannot lie. Okay, however, simply hearing this phrase, "it is impossible for God to lie," okay, may not immediately feel reassuring. Okay, after all, we have all heard someone said to us, "Just trust me, bro, just trust me." Okay, but if you're honest, we are not completely convinced. Okay, but God is not like human beings. He possesses none of our limitations. The very motives for lying do not exist in Him. Okay, what do I mean? Okay, firstly, God is omnipotent, meaning He's all-powerful. He can do all things. Okay, like what we talked about last week. Okay, there is no consequence He cannot handle and no enemy He cannot subdue. He never needs to manipulate a situation through deception because His sovereign power can accomplish His purposes directly. Who or what could possibly threaten Him? Secondly, God is omniscient, meaning He's all-knowing. He knows all things, past, present, future. He knows things in advance, okay, like the actions of human beings. He knows what you'll do in a week's time, in a month's time, right, in 10 years' time. When He says something is going to happen, it will happen because He has already seen it. Okay, not just that, God knows the thoughts and feelings of every person all the time. He does not need to use trickery or manipulation to find out things from people. And thirdly, God is omnibenevolent, meaning He's all good. Okay, everything He does is perfectly right, pure, and perfectly loving. Okay, if a person lies, it is often because the heart is mixed with pride, selfishness, or hidden motives. Okay, we lie because we want to look better than we are, or because we care more about ourselves than the other person. But not God. He has no selfish intent, no hidden agenda, no desire to take advantage of anyone. His goodness means He always wills what is best. Lying will never be part of his nature because love has no place for deception. Now, not only is God all of these things, but the Bible also tells us that he is unchanging, okay, or what theologians call immutable. Okay, unlike human beings who crack under pressure or compromise when circumstances change, God's nature, character, will, and promises never change at any time, in any circumstance. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, elsewhere in the Bible, there is a verse that beautifully captures this truth. In Numbers 23, God is not human that he should lie, nor the human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not and then not act? Does he promise and then not fulfill? One of my favorite film series is the Matrix trilogy. Okay, if you've watched it before, you may have realized that there it is filled with references to the Bible, including this verse in Numbers 23. Okay, for those who have never watched it, okay, the story is about a future world where human beings are being enslaved by machines. The hero, the main character, Neo, sacrificed himself to negotiate peace between the machines and humans. Okay, right at the end of the movie, there is a short yet profound scene where the oracle, okay, who represents the human, met with the architect, who represents the machine. The oracle asked for reassurance that the machines will honor the terms of the settlement, okay, which allowed humans who wanted to be unplugged from the Matrix to go free. So she asked the architect, "I have your word?" And to which his response was, "What do you think I am? Human?" Okay, the architect was implying that unlike humans, machines don't lie. Okay, actually they can lah, okay, if they are programmed to. Okay, you can tell ChatGPT to give you only wrong answers to your questions. Okay, but the point is well made. No human being can ever be fully trusted. It is always possible for a human to lie or go back on his word. But God, it's not human. By his very nature, he cannot lie nor change his mind. If he has spoken, he will definitely act. If he has promised, he will certainly fulfill. God's character gives us sureness of hope. And that's why you can trust him with your life. The second reason why you can trust God with your life is because God's covenant is certain. If you haven't realized, trust is becoming increasingly rare in our world today. According to a major national study in the United States that has tracked social attitudes for more than 50 years, trust has fallen sharply. Okay, in 1972, almost half of Americans said that most people could be trusted. By 2022, just 3 years ago, that number had dropped to only about one quarter. Okay, but I believe this phenomenon is not limited to the United States. Okay, people generally are becoming more guarded and more suspicious about others. And that's why we are constantly looking for assurances. Okay, what do I mean? Okay, for those of you who frequently buy things online, okay, you'll notice that the delivery personnel start to do something new these days. Okay, they always take a photo of the parcel at your doorstep. Okay, they need to prove that it was delivered so that if it goes missing, okay, which happened quite a few times, you know, reported in the news, okay, they can say they are not responsible. Okay, when someone wants to communicate something important to us, what do? We insist that they put it in writing, WhatsApp or email, okay, in case they later deny or change what was said. Okay, before issuing a large loan, okay, banks typically require collateral. And if not, they will charge a much higher interest rate. Okay, before finalizing a hire, employers conduct thorough background check because a person's declaration cannot be taken at face value. Okay, but it is not only that we find it hard to trust others. Okay, we do certain things precisely because we know others will find it hard to trust us too. Okay, for those of you who have rented cars before, what's the first thing you do before driving off? You check the car for defect, but more importantly, you take photos or videos, right? Every angle of the car. Why? Because once you leave the car park, if you discover damages later, it will be almost impossible to convince the rental company that you were not responsible. Now, even though God never changes, He still understands our need for assurance. He does not simply say, "Trust my words because I am God." Okay, instead, in the Bible, we see that He provides confirmation to strengthen our confidence in Him. Okay, and we see this being explained in our main passage today. When God made His promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for Him to swear by, He swore by Himself, saying, "I will surely bless you and give you many descendants." And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of His purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. God did it so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. Okay, in order to demonstrate the reliability of God's character and the certainty of His word, and the writer of Hebrews takes us back to the story of Abraham in the Old Testament. And all the way back in the book of Genesis, God had promised this elderly couple, okay, Abraham and Sarah, that they will have a son and they will become the parents of countless descendants. Okay, at the point, humanly speaking, it was impossible because Sarah was barren. Yet Abraham waited. Years passed, nothing happened. Decades went by. Finally, when Abraham was 100 years old, his son Isaac was born. And just when his household was filled with joy and laughter, God commanded Abraham to sacrifice his son. And Abraham willingly obeyed God. But just before he plunged the knife into Isaac, God stopped him at the last moment and provided another way out. Okay, and we read what happened next. In Genesis chapter 22, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Okay, to be clear, God was not making this promise to Abraham for the first time. Okay, just because he decided to sacrifice his son. God had previously made the same promise many times to Abraham. But this time round was different. God confirms the promise with an oath, meaning He swore to make it happen. Okay, in the culture of that time, when someone wished to make a promise absolutely certain, he would swear an oath. Okay, and as Chinese, we understand the concept of oath very well, don't we? Okay, we invoke a higher authority who will hold us accountable and who will punish us if we fail to keep the promise, right? 我发誓我会做，否则天打雷劈。 Okay, sorry for the non-English, non-Chinese speakers. If I fail to do it, may I be struck by lightning from heaven. Now, think about it. Even though God's integrity was beyond question and He's not accountable to anybody else above Him, He condescended to use an oath, the means by which unreliable human beings affirm their truthfulness. I mean, the only reason why people will resort to making oath, resort to swearing, is because they can't be trusted to act with integrity. Think about the weight of God's oath. Since there was no one greater than Himself, God invoked His own eternal, holy, perfect self as the collateral for this promise. He was essentially saying, if I fail to do this for you, May I cease to be God. Although God did not need to do this, He voluntarily bound Himself to this promise. And the question for us reading this is, why would God, the blessed ruler, stake His very existence on a promise made to puny, insignificant human beings? And Hebrews chapter 6 tells us that it is because He wants to make the unchanging nature of His purpose very clear to us so that we may be greatly encouraged. Okay, God made a covenant with Abraham, not because there was something special about him, but because through Abraham, He wants to save the whole world, including you and me. God chose to stoop down to our level by using an oath because He desires to demonstrate the absolute certainty of His covenant. He did this for our sake. Okay, we can trust in God's word because He has personally guaranteed it. Okay, let me round out this point by saying something to the Christians. Okay, the challenge for us is not only whether we trust God to keep His promises, it is also whether we interpret His promises correctly in the first place. Okay, many believers today are misled because they cling to words that God never intended to mean what they think they mean. Okay, popular Christian teachings such as, by His stripes you are healed, believe in the Lord and you and your household will be saved, or name it and claim it, they are often misinterpreted and misapplied. Okay, many Christians are disappointed when God does not come true for them, not because God's word has failed, but because they have misunderstood what God actually promised. If God had taken such extraordinary steps to assure us that His words is absolutely trustworthy, then our responsibility is to interpret God's word accurately. So, sign up for our Thursday equipping class starting January 2026. Okay, at the same time, we also need to pay close attention to how we handle personal visions and prophecies. Okay, some Christians claim to have seen or heard or received a personal message from the Lord. And if we are not careful, these things can carry more weight than they have and shape our decisions more strongly than the plain teachings of the Bible. Now, I'm not saying that visions and prophecies have no place in the church today. Rather, I'm saying they are never equal to the authority of the Bible and must always be examined and weighed against the written word of God. Okay, only the Bible is the final and trustworthy standard for faith and life. And finally, the third reason why you can trust God with your life is because Christ's work is complete. I live in the part of Hougang that falls under Aljunied GRC, which most of you would know is represented by the Workers' Party. In the past 10 years that I've been staying there, I have never received any house visit from the PAP. Okay, perhaps they felt that they would never stand a chance against the Workers' Party, so why bother trying? This week, my wife and I were pleasantly surprised when the newly appointed PAP branch chairman for my area visited our home and even gifted us a tray of eggs. Wow, never have I felt so excited about a tray of eggs. I recognized him immediately because I've seen his photos all over my lift lobby. So I took the chance to shake his hand, thank him, and I said this to the chairman, I can see that you really hit the ground running because ever since you took over as branch chairman, there have been so many community activities. Particularly, my son thoroughly enjoyed himself at a Formula One event, okay, where he received a really nice Tamiya-looking toy racing car. Okay, I know my son doesn't look very happy here, but trust me, he was on cloud nine. And before he left my house, I shook his hand again and I said, I wish you all the best for the next general election. He must have been very happy with all our positive affirmations for him, because later in the week, he posted a short video about his visit to my blog. Okay, this is a video. And our photo was the first frame. Okay, this is not about politics. But let me ask you, why do you vote for a certain politician rather than another? Okay, is it because he or she is very good and eloquent with his words? Okay, no, you vote for that person because he has proven or has shown the potential to get the work done, right? So work, not just words. Why do you pay for a certain product or service? Because the merchants have proven that they can deliver the quality they promise. Work, not just words. Okay, we naturally find it easier to trust people who consistently make good on their words, okay, by their work. Okay, so far we have seen that God's nature is constant and His covenant certain. Okay, but there is one more crucial piece. Okay, a promise can be perfectly sincere and legally binding, but it is only as good as its fulfillment. How can I be sure that God's promises are for me? Okay, and that's why our main passage tells us this. In verse 19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. Okay, the writer of Hebrews explains elsewhere in his letter that this inner sanctuary in the earthly temple at Jerusalem is actually a replica to symbolize the perfect sanctuary in heaven where God's presence dwells. Only the high priest, a human high priest, is permitted to enter the earthly sanctuary once a year on the Day of Atonement after he has carefully purified himself to bring a blood sacrifice to cover the nation's sin so that God would not destroy the whole nation. The actions of this human high priest were also symbolic. His actions foreshadowed a greater high priest who will one day come to bring a perfect sacrifice, not into an earthly sanctuary, but the heavenly one. And that great high priest was none other than Jesus, the one who is fully God, fully man. Jesus did not merely bring the blood of animals, which could never satisfy God's requirement. Instead, he offered himself, his own blood, by dying on the cross. Okay, the writer describes Jesus as a forerunner, which means that Jesus entered the inner sanctuary so that the rest of us could follow in his footsteps. All who trust in Jesus' sacrifice will be freely and fully accepted into God's presence and approval. Jesus' self-sacrifice tells us what God was willing to give up to uphold his promises to us. And what was he willing to give up? That which was most precious to him, his only son. Romans chapter 8 tells us this. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Remember, God told Abraham to spare his son, but God did not spare his own son. After Abraham demonstrated his willingness to sacrifice his son, God said to him, "Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." And yet, God actually sacrificed his one and only son. And so with greater force, we can say to God, "Now I know that you love me because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." As Christians, we know that God will most certainly deliver on his promises because of the finished work of Christ on the cross. God did not just give us great and precious promises. He gave us His most precious Son. The cross is the surest confirmation that God will gladly keep His promises to us. It is through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross that we know that all the promises of God are yes and amen. Let me close. If we truly grasp how much God was willing to give in order to uphold His promises to us, then I think we will respond in two ways. Okay, we will want to respond in two ways. Okay, firstly, we will want to live with integrity. Live our lives with integrity that reflects God's character. Now, integrity means that our words and our actions align. It means that we keep our promises, whether they are convenient or not. It means that we do not exaggerate our achievements to impress others or hide the truth to avoid consequences. It means that we do the right thing even when no one is watching and even when we stand to gain nothing from it. Okay, and the thing is this, we shouldn't think of integrity solely in terms of serious matters like avoiding crimes or managing finances. Integrity begins in the small things, like being punctual for work and for church service, paying what you owe, returning what you borrow, doing your work with excellence rather than cutting corners. When you work from home, you really work, not sleep from home. Okay, you don't call in sick, okay, when you simply do not feel like working. Okay, these days it's so easy to get an MC, right, using your app on your bed. Okay, I once spoke to somebody and this person told me, you know, all of us have 14 days MC. It is meant to be fully utilized. Okay. Having integrity means speaking truthfully even when it is uncomfortable. Apologizing when you're wrong instead of defending yourself. Okay, Jesus taught that whoever can be trusted with little can also be trusted with much. And the reverse is also true. Whoever is dishonest with little cannot be trusted with much. If you want God to do greater things through you, then you must start with being trustworthy with the little things. And not just that, when the world sees, when the people around you sees integrity in us, they will catch a glimpse of the God who cannot lie. And secondly, as Christians, we will live with greater confidence. Okay, we need to remember and cling to the cross, especially when our feelings tell us to doubt God's promises. Okay, I love this phrase that I learned from a sister in church. She tells me, tell your feelings the facts. Tell your feelings the facts. Let me tell your neighbor beside you, tell your feelings the facts. Okay, we need to train ourselves to live daily in the shadow of the cross. When you wake up in the morning, when you wake up tomorrow morning, get up and step out with confidence. Today, God will deliver on His promises to meet all my needs because of the cross. When you face difficulties and temptations, respond confidently. God will deliver on His promises to deliver me because of the cross. When you are fearful and confused, remember God will deliver on His promise to strengthen you and guide you because of the cross. Okay, there are many things we don't understand about how the way God works, and He does not see fit to answer all our questions. But we don't need to know everything. We only need to know God's word, trust His character, and remember the cross. And in so doing, we will enjoy life to the fullest and we will live each day confidently. Come, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your unchanging character and Your unfailing truth. You are the God who cannot lie, whose promises stand firm through every generation. Thank You for the finished work of Christ, our anchor and our hope. When we are tempted to doubt, help us to remember the cross. Let it be the foundation of our confidence in You. Father, I pray that God, You will empower us by Your Spirit to live lives of integrity. Help us to reflect Your truthfulness in our words, actions, both in the small things and great. teach us to trust you more deeply, to surrender our worries and our need for control, and to walk in the freedom and assurance that comes from knowing that you are faithful. And I pray that God, even as we live lives with integrity, with confidence, that the people around us, the world, will catch a glimpse of the God who cannot lie. And in so doing, they, Lord, they will want to give their lives to you, God, to put their trust in you. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for listening. And I hope you've been blessed and inspired by today's message. If you're thinking, where can I get more? Then head over to brighton.org.sg, where we've got a whole library of audio sermons just like this one. You'll find information about our services and ways to get involved. We hope to see you soon.